This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and did you know that instead of working on your creative goals, you can just have orgasms alone in your room?
Yeah. I'm Brandy Posey, and I'm not really sure what to do with this, but like, you could whisper in a guy's ear, "You're my rib now, bitch." That would be a fun thing to do. Follow me on Twitter, I guess.
I'm Tess Barker, and one thing that's great about Alicia Silverstone is that, of course, Cher grows up to be a little too vegan.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara. Show for everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, coming to you from Greenpoint, Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, I'm fresh.
Greenpoint, Brooklyn, New York,
I'm
USA.
Recovering from a recently lost kombucha.
Yeah, it was so sad. It was so sad.
It was an explosion.
Yeah, I lost the kombucha to the wind in Prospect Park. It was like, I feel a very Brooklyn experience.
Yeah, it made it like a tiny sonic boom when it hit the ground.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you opened it
yet. I didn't even get a sip.
Yeah, just had that like vacuum drop. Truly sad.
Yeah, it was pretty. We all cried a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. It was going to be a basil one. I was really excited.
Oh, God. Never mind. Nothing deserved to die.
Well, no use crying over spilled kombucha. At least we're here podcasting with a good pal of ours. She's one of the hosts of Movie Science at the Mads and professional friends, Carolina Hidalgo.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey. How's it going? I got plenty of kombucha for you guys. Is Zach?
Yeah.
Oh, come on back.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Shit.
Why, we had LaCroix. And we're going to keep leveling up. Nut milk.
Okay, I made that berry, by the way.
Do you make your own kombucha?
Oh, well, we should start, actually, because I told you I have an office and I don't really use it for much, so I might as well start a bottling plant like today.
Yeah. Get a host? Is that what's called a mother? Yeah. What do you start with?
Yeah, you have to make a mother.
I think that's what the beginning
you have to make
of,
a mother.
That's the beginning of a kombucha or a sourdough. I forget which one.
Sourdough is starter. Okay. I know apple cider vinegar, it's always a good sign when it says mother included, which is always gross.
Yeah, with the mother. It's always creepy.
How do you make a mother is the first song in Kombucha the Musical.
Yes.
And they're like, how do you make a mother?
Sorry. Is that a musical reference?
No, I'm just making it up.
I'm on board.
Jesus, it's fake.
No. I just didn't know if that was a tune of reference or something.
It was a little bit. How do you solve a problem like Maria?
It was a reference to me saying making up a musical song.
It felt inspired by How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria, but.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
I have a lot to learn. I'm on day one on that kombucha thing that I decided. Yeah. You know what? The idea might be gone now.
Yeah. I think just keep buying it.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Keep getting a case.
And
I think
sell it illegally.
Yes.
All right,
absolutely.
Once they started having it on tap at bars, I was like, okay.
You're not into that?
I'm just not into it in general, so especially.
Oh, I didn't
that.
Realize you didn't like kombucha.
No.
I thought we were all on the same page on kombucha.
No, I'm a fan. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, yeah.
It does taste a little bit like how beer smells the day after you're cleaning up after a party.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All I have to do is have a party, and then the next day I get started.
I think that's how you make the mother.
Oh, okay.
It's just flat beer that you put in a closet for 6 months. And then I think that's kombucha. I think that's how it works.
Also shrooms. That's how the shrooms work. Yeah,
okay.
I remember like people growing shrooms in their closet being like, right.
Doesn't it grow in cow shit?
But people, you can grow it too.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We got a lot of plans for your office.
Yeah. Yeah. Please do. It's going to be a smelly one.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, they're all fungus based.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
But... Funky or fungus based. One or the other. Yes. We're going to get you there.
Yes.
Yeah. Just believe. I like a side hustle, especially when it's a little bit illegal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That actually kind of makes it kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
So I'm down for that. I'm sure my landlord who lives directly below me, Mr. Kim, will not mind whatsoever.
No, he seems chill.
We signed a lease.
Yeah.
It's too late now.
How long have you been here, Azaria?
I've been here for, we've lived in Greenpoint for like 3 years, mm-hmm. but we've been in this apartment for 6 months. We moved two blocks away.
Nice. Yeah.
So you found that's how good it was. You're like, all right, we're upgrading.
Yeah. And then moving was like the easiest thing, walking over boxes.
That's great. Yeah. Leisurely, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Although I've had a couple moves like that in my life. And for me, I feel like they were a little bit harder because I underestimated. I was like, I'm barely moving at all.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then the day before, I was like, oh, fuck, you still have to schlep everything.
Well, then you don't get that purge thing, right? Did you like get rid of a bunch of shit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And
guys,
we even hired two movers, like Andre and Serge.
Yeah.
And they were cool.
And they were like, what? It's only two blocks away. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
And then they opened the door and they're like, oh, there's these like 3 flights of stairs that go straight up. I'm like, go at it, Serge.
Yeah. Serge on up those stairs. You got this.
Drink a Serge first, Serge, and then you'll have the energy to go up these stairs.
Wait, do you guys follow Serge on Twitter?
I saw that they're having like a comeback.
Yeah, Serge the Soda is, they tweet about ska music all the time. Like, they actually do, and it's really funny. They'll just like...
Now, what is Serge the Soda?
What?
You never had Surge?
You don't know about this?
No. Wait, do you know Surge, Carolina?
Yeah, I know
like
about
Mountain
Surge.
Dew.
I've never tried a Surge, though.
Yeah, it was like 90s Mountain Dew.
Okay.
Yeah. For sure. I remember my brother was like a BMX racer, and like BMX tracks in the 90s always had like a Surge sponsor. So there was like a truck with like girls throwing soda cans at people. Like,
so it was like Red Bull before Red Bull.
Yeah. And the cans are like, they're very like, they kind of look like...
They look like Nickelodeon GAC style or something. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty sick. Anyway, they're making a comeback, and whoever runs their account is, like, real wild. And he just tweets, he just tags the Mighty Mighty Boston's all the time. I think it's, like, some intern that just, like, wants to be friends with a bunch of ska bands.
Maybe it is a Mighty Mighty Boston's.
It might be.
Yeah. Like one of them. Isn't there, like, 12 people in that band?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
they have downtime.
Yeah. Kind of synchronize their, you know, merging the 290s things and bringing it back up. Yeah. You know, it's retro. Yeah,
that is true. It's, all your nostalgia. If you hit one thing, you're going to get them all, and then people will start being like, every time I drink this Surge, it makes me want to buy a Mighty Mighty Boston album.
Yeah.
Get him back on the charts, baby.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely see that happening.
And did you guys like Jolt Cola?
No, I never drank
Jolt?
That.
Oh, Jolt was really the OG
Jolt's like
Red Bull.
Super caffeinated.
Yeah.
Coke.
Oh, that might be more West Coast.
Oh, yeah. Jolt was really... that was my first experience with recreational drug use, was Jolt Cola. Because...
So that had to be like, two or what?
Yeah, I was pretty young. Yeah, pretty young. But because I loved having sleepovers. Like, I was the kid... I was like, love staying up all night long.
Oh, my God.
And so I would make my friends walk with me down to the liquor store at like 4 o'clock in the morning. We would get a Jolt Cola. Oh, and then we would just get real weird off sleep deprivation and caffeine at like 4 a.m.
You and gamers, man.
Yeah.
You guys really would have gone along.
We would have.
Yeah,
that sounds cool.
See, I didn't get more into it.
I remember in college, the whole like third floor of my freshman dorm were like, they threw LAN parties constantly, and they just all had mini fridges full of Mountain Dew, and that's just like what they lived off of. And towards the end of the first semester, several of them tried to like quit it together at the same time, and they would just be like shaking and just like being like, "We can't quit the Dew, man. You just gotta do it." It's like, yeah, that's the whole slogan. They know what they're doing.
I hope they're doing okay now with their families and careers.
Yeah. No, for sure. I remember my friend Pat, like, he successfully was able to make the separation, and then he was just like, he like relapsed once, like his junior year. And
relapsed on Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
They're doing okay. None of them have teeth, but you know.
Yeah.
Who needs them?
I had a similar Nutella incident as well 10 years ago. So you know what? I'm not going to laugh at them. I'm going
to
laugh with
them. You had to kick Nutella?
I had to kick the Nutella. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Nutella is one of those things that you can really start to put on everything.
Yeah, you really can.
And then you don't need to put on anything.
Yeah.
You can
I
just
ended
eat
up
it.
With a spoon.
That's what I was going to say.
Absolutely.
A spoon situation, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. When I was a kid, I overdosed on apple butter. That was like a big thing for me. Would you know what apple butter is?
Yeah, I've had
apple butter.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I actually don't know what apple butter
is.
Oh,
it's like a jam, but it's like a more of like a real like spread consistency. And
it's really good on toast.
Oh, it's really good. Okay. And it tastes like apple butter. It's like a buttery apple spread. And it's really good. And I think I ate it on like 5 pieces of toast a day as like a child. And then one day I woke up and I was like, I can never eat apple butter again. And I haven't had it in maybe 25 years.
Really? It was that bad?
Wow. Yeah. Cause I straight up like had a full on habit. Cause I was like so sugar addicted as a kid. Me and my dad, we each had our own Hershey syrup bottles in the fridge and we would just like chug them together.
Oh my God. That's like, amazing.
Mainlining straight up. And like written with Sharpie, like mainlining sugar. Yeah, and I think one day I just woke up and something in my body had changed, and I was like, you can never eat that. Never again.
Well, apple
done.
Butter, I mean, come on, that's pretty innocent out of all of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just, like, the idea of it grossed me out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. It was more that, just, like, the idea of ever doing it again.
I think my brother was, like, forced to eat a stick of butter. Maybe this is, like, an old wives' tale or something. Wow. But I have some memory of, like, a stick of butter being eaten at some point.
Wow.
It feels like Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Did you make your brother do this?
No, he was way younger, or he was way older than me. So I just think it was like maybe a legend. You know what I mean? Like something I heard that happened to him before I was even around.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good. And then like, we got to have another kid. We ruined this one with butter. Yeah.
Was it salted though? That's the important question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I could probably, I could have at least a couple spoonfuls of salted butter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No problem.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
If you go to a diner, like you order toast, that's what you're getting.
Yeah.
So. I will say we were walking in Annapolis the other day and there was an ad for if you could drink a 6-pound milkshake, then you would get something free. I don't know. And Tess was like, oh, I could do it.
I could do it.
Yeah. You would be so sick.
I know, but I could do it. Because every time I have a milkshake, my thought is like, I wish I had a treadmill on my tongue so this could never leave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like I love milkshakes.
But like think about like a 5-pound weight. Add a pound to that and put all of that inside your mouth.
That's true.
Oh, and it will expand in your stomach, right?
Yeah, but it's liquid. I don't know. If I was stoned, I really think I could do it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. I wonder, here's my question. What is the amount of milk that is in that? Because is that
a lot? And I don't do a lot of dairy, to be honest.
But I wonder, like, is that like a gallon milk challenge equivalent of any kind?
Good point. Right. Because
that's like a sneaky, because I know that the gallon, as someone who did the gallon milk challenge when I was in college, you like physically can't get the entire thing down unless it's skim milk. Like something about like the amount of, there's like some bacteria in milk that's like fine for like a glass or two, but like the amount that's in an entire gallon of it, your body like immediately expels it.
So is that what happened to you? Did it come out of every orifice?
So I got the entire thing down because it was a dare by a guy that I hated who was being shitty to my friend that had a big crush on him. And because I don't drink, so I like never threw up in college. And he was like, could you do the gallon milk challenge and make you throw up? I made it when we did it at his place because I was like, all right, if we're going to do it, we're doing it at your house. And then I drank the entire gallon and he was being an asshole about it. And I was like, I think I'm going to throw up. And I went to the bathroom and then I just puked back into the left of his toilet.
My question is, how did that affect your relationship with milk?
I mean, I'm not a huge milk drinker.
Wait, did he have to do it too or he just made you do it?
No, it was just me.
What the fuck is this shit?
He's an asshole.
It's got to be competition. Otherwise...
I mean, it's a competition with yourself.
That's true.
It's like running a marathon.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
I see that.
God, I can see the milk industry really trying to get like that going again. Like Smirnoff Ice. Like, God.
Yes.
It's like, okay, they had ice. Like, we got to do something where people are getting pranked again into this.
Do you think ice was an inside job?
No. I think that was just like lucky for them.
Have you ever been iced?
I've heard of that. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the rules are behind that. So what happens exactly?
So it's supposed to be that someone places a Smirnoff Ice somewhere that you discover it.
It's like a prank / gift / surprise / fuck you.
Yeah. So you have to like,
it's a kinder surprise.
Say I came in here before we started the podcast and put it in this drawer and I was like, oh, can you get something for me out of that drawer? And you discovered it. You would have to then get on one knee and chug the entire thing.
That is what I thought it would be.
That's about right.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the age of Instagram hasn't brought icing back.
I feel like it's got its day.
The time seems nigh.
Yeah. If Surge is back tweeting about ska music, icing is just around the corner.
We can't force
punk rock. Exactly.
No.
Surge came back because they decided to like do it, a corporation did, but icing's got to be like, you know.
I don't know, but like I feel like last time, actually a couple weeks ago, we were talking about ice cream on here, and we did have a few people tweet us pictures of their ice cream. So maybe right now, let's encourage people, you know, what are you doing this weekend? Ice someone.
Ice somebody.
Yeah. Why not?
You know, it would be funny if you gave someone a bowl of ice cream with a Smirnoff ice inside of it. So once you finish the bowl of ice cream.
That'd have to be a giant ass bowl of ice cream.
That's two challenges in one.
Yeah.
That's gnarly. Yeah. A Smirnoff ice float.
Yeah. What does it taste like? I don't know what an ice tastes like.
It's like Sprite.
It's like shitty Sprite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I've never had one either.
Yeah.
Like Sprite. I mean, they would call it cheer beer in fucking Salt Lake. Like, it's like barely, you know, it's just like really
sweet. Really sugary.
Vodka?
Really sweet.
Yeah.
It's vodka. No, it's not. It's malt
like fake
liquor,
beer.
So it's
it's
like a low amount of alcohol.
Yeah. It has about the same amount of alcohol as a beer.
Okay.
All right.
So is it like a high school drink? Is that like
They're for kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Perfect. To get yourself started into grain alcohol.
Yeah.
For sure. The sugar's in there because you're already addicted to sugar because you're a child in America. And then
it's like anything. It's like most drinks that, you know, when you first start, you're like coffee or whatever. You're like, let me cover up all the actual things with sugar.
Yeah.
And then gradually get into the harder stuff.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if it's because I started drinking coffee so young, but I skipped that phase. I like went straight to beer. I never have been like a wine cooler person or anything. Even in high school, I like.
Yeah, I think you just had, you had like a, you know, maybe like a more evolved palate or something.
Maybe so.
You didn't either?
No, I went to, I grew up in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And there it's like you kind of have to just kind of sort of look like an adult to be able to drink.
Yeah.
And it was just like cocktails. It was like screwdrivers and cranberry and vodkas. Oh. And so like that's what we would drink. And then, you know, get trashed and then learn and then stop doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then I moved to the U.S. I went to college and then everyone's like, malt liquor, that's the way to go. And so then I drank that. I would throw up. I'd learn and stop doing it again. Yeah. Like, it just wouldn't stop no matter where I moved.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's the one thing about drinking is I still am like, how have I not learned how to do this yet? Because it always, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking with my friend about it because he stopped drinking a few years ago. And he was like, yeah, it's hard because you like reach that good moment and you're like, this is great. I should keep going. It's like, no, you should have stayed there. But you're already drunk and you forgot that this is where you could stay.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I also decided to stop drinking to the point, well, just drink like maybe one day a week.
Right.
Yeah. But then one thing I did learn is that if you drink like one day a week or one day a month,
you
get really sick no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like you either drink every day or not at all.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, when you're in your 30s, I guess I'm like in my mid 30s at this point. Yeah. It's like, oh man, I got to go one way or the other. Yeah. I have no idea.
We're definitely getting to that point.
Yeah.
Do you go back to Mexico a lot?
No, I have not been since I moved.
Really?
Yeah. Where in Mexico are you from?
Mexico City.
Oh, wow. How was that?
It was the 90s. So it was like the beginning of like the peso crash. So it was wonderful for a while.
Yeah. Right.
Kind of little cheap. It got a little crazy. And then like everybody I know, all my friends, my family, everyone moved out. And my parents moved to Colombia because I'm actually Colombian, like ethnicity wise.
Got it.
And so there was no reason to go back to Mexico. And I'm just like, you know, I'm going to keep my 90s memories, you know, with my hemp necklaces and my like, you know, like
the one seashell in the necklace.
I'm going to just keep those memories alive of Mexico today and just be like, I love that place. I haven't been back.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you just got to wait until because all that 90s style is coming back. So like,
then
if
I go
you went back.
Yes.
Like maybe like 3 years that you're going to be like Jenko's everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Again.
Like the knit caps. I remember I used to wear one of those.
Oh yeah.
And an eyebrow piercing.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone has that scar.
That little scar
right there.
Never wear a knit sweater.
Yeah.
And you have your eyebrow pierced.
Yeah. Can't do it.
I had belly button. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a couple times. I remember one time I got one of those loofahs stuck on my belly button ring.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
I pulled that a bunch of times. That was a bummer.
Were eyebrow piercings just for people who were too scared to get their tongue pierced?
I got my tongue pierced.
You did?
Yeah, girl.
I was too scared to get a tattoo. That was what it was.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. So you got your tongue pierced?
Yeah.
How long did it last?
4 years.
Nuh-uh. Because yeah, most people got it for like 2 weeks because they were like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. It took me. I'm not very smart.
You hung in there for 4 years?
Yeah. I just kept it in there.
I mean, I feel like
yeah.
My friend Louis had one for a long time. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was just a weird thing to fidget with, and I have ADHD. I was like, well, this is very helpful.
Play with it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was so weird. I was so weird. And, you know, then eventually you take it out. I took it out when I was like 19, 20, and I was just like, never again. And don't ever tell anyone until you get onto Lady to Lady. And
everybody. You're saving it for, thank you.
Birthday, thank you so much.
I don't even think my fiance knows that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to have to break the news before the wedding.
Play this podcast. Like, babe, I have something to tell you.
Yeah, this is just sit down and listen silently.
I mean, you got to get matching his and hers tongue piercings for the wedding.
That could be your something blue.
That's a good one. Where's your wedding ring? Well,
don't even need a ring bearer. Yeah, you're fine.
That would be a really fun way to propose to somebody is just like open your mouth and have a tongue ring of an engagement ring.
Oh my God. How long did it take to like heal after that?
It took like 2 weeks because it was very like, it was just very weird. It closed up in the middle, but there's still a little tiny little scar.
Yeah.
Right. And, but yeah, it just kind of went away and then it was just like it never happened. And like, it was a weird, it was a weird time. I was really into piercings, you know, I was really into like the punk lifestyle, but I was a Catholic schoolgirl, so I couldn't do too much. So I did what I could.
I mean, I congratulate you for being very 90s because I feel like you hit a lot of points.
Yeah.
I was the most caps,
eyebrow and tongue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If there's bingo, you won.
I went all the way across.
It was awesome.
It was a crazy time. And well, in Mexico, like everything's a little, well, before the internet, everything was a little bit behind. So I was so behind. I was like 80s for a while, and then I was 90s, and then eventually we all caught up when Lord of the Rings came out.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the thing.
That was the moment that just coagulated.
All
right,
we're all elves now.
Yeah. Exactly. We're all cosplaying.
Did your parents know about your tongue ring? Because that's something you can hide pretty well, right? Or maybe not.
They found out eventually.
Okay.
Like laughing or something. They're like, hey, what's that thing in your mouth? I'm like, don't worry about it, Mom. And she was just like, all right, well, that's my daughter. Yeah, okay. Yeah. At least, I don't know, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's weird how weird parents get about piercings and tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, they get this weird, like, I made you, you can't.
Yeah.
Right? Or they think, like, you're never going to get a job now.
And yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, well, maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah, that has changed.
Yeah,
it's not
now
just
you
like
can't
bikers.
Get hired without a tongue piercing these days.
Exactly.
Yeah, my neighborhood. Yeah. Kidding me? I'm the square of my neighborhood. My mom would be proud.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm trying to get a job on Wall Street. I need this neck tattoo. Exactly. I used to get those like temporary tattoos out of machines and would just always have a neck tattoo on a high school like my senior year. It was just always, I thought it was hilarious.
What do you guys think about those? Have you seen those like Instagram ads for like the tattoos that last
of
like
course.
4 weeks or something?
Yeah.
What do you think about those? Because I feel like obviously tattoo culture people are probably like, this is
I mean,
not
I
cool.
like it. I like think it would satisfy. I think it would satisfy the urge I have to like want to tattoo myself and not necessarily want that forever. You know?
Mm, yeah.
Like I just get a sheet of the same thing done and I would just like wear it like I used to also like in dances and stuff in high school. And then once I didn't go that many in college, but I would like get temporary tattoos that would like match my dresses and stuff
and use
that as jewelry.
Yeah.
Like I remember having like a red dress that I had like a
also this
giant,
is extremely 90s.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A giant like flaming heart tattoo that I wore like a necklace, but it was like a temp tattoo that went with my dress.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
And you spackle a little Calvin Klein body glitter on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, very 1999.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like in theory, I agree. It should be like an accessory.
Yeah.
But I can say like, it's fun. You know, it's just one of those things where I think like tattoo people are like, oh, this is an abomination to our, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, probably.
I don't think it's the same. I think it's great for those tattoos where you're like, oh, that's just cute.
Yeah.
I don't think I think tattoos that last forever, like they have their own purpose.
Yeah, right. You're not going to get like your mother's initials like on a temporary tattoo.
Exactly.
So Ocean City, Maryland is like the beach I always went to growing up. I'm from Maryland originally. And there's this like really hot Hannah guy that always used to be in the boardwalk named Hannah Steve. And Hannah Steve was like a punk rocker that was like going to art school. And then he just did like freehand like Hannah like on the summers. And he was like in college and we were in high school. We're all obsessed with Hannah Steve. And he had this one tattoo of like example. And it was like an animated tooth that had like dental instruments next to it. And I was like, I made him put that on my arm and write live to brush, brush to live around it.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love this.
It was the shit. It was like, I was working it with Hannah Steve. He was like, it's really funny. And I was like, yeah, it is.
What?
Hannah Steve.
Okay. Now my question is, what do you think Hannah Steve's up to these days?
Oh, he's in a band and he's bald, but still has sideburns for sure.
And he's henning.
Is he still doing
henna? He's hair onto his.
Yeah, yeah. Head? Yeah, it's just hennying the ball spots over and over.
It's like the Joey Lawrence, like, hair plugs. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just remember, like, there was, like, one summer, like, I think it was the first summer I was in college. I remember I was, like, going back and, like, it was on the boardwalks. He, like, walked past where Hannah Steve was and he just wasn't there anymore. And I was like,
oh, no.
Hannah Steve's just, like, in the wild now. I'll never see him again.
He's now, like, an investment broker or something.
Yeah, he probably is. He's the one that got the way, honestly. Me and Hannah Steve.
He wears those long sleeves, like cover up his.
Yeah. All this like Hannah time.
We have to take a break before we go. Are you a big Star Wars fan or is it Marcus?
Yeah, I am a huge Star Wars fan.
So this is like a design where it's not actually Luke or Leia, but it's just.
Oh, this is like an original 1977 poster.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
Thank you.
They just didn't want to put them on it?
I think that's just like the art that they did, because I also have the newer one, which is in pillowcase form.
Yes.
Yes.
I have sheets like that.
Yeah. I think it was just they just did the art and they're like trying to make it. You know how like sometimes they try to make a doll that looks like somebody?
Totally.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's kind of what happened. Enough.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. That is one of my like favorite designs.
We are actually a Star Wars and Star Trek household.
Good for you. Congrats.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Did the Picard trailer make you cry as well?
I have not seen it yet. Oh, don't spoil the trailer.
No. Not a word. It just seeing.
It's great.
Seeing Jean-Luc again, like, I welled up in tears instantly.
Really?
And, like, did not expect it to happen. And then I was like, oh, I'm very emotional right now. Yeah, I, like, wrote my college essay about, like, TNG. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just, like, I a lot of my life's philosophy comes from that show.
Speaking of the
90s. Yes.
We can't get away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a new show name. Speaking of the 90s.
That has to be a show, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We're going to go, we're all going to go cry over Jean-Luc for a second.
Not me. Well,
BRB.
Hey, welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
You're here with Carolina Hidalgo.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. We're going to play a little game with you.
Cool. I love games.
Yeah. It's called Who, What, Where, When, Why. It's not really a game. We just call it a game. You don't win anything. I'm sorry.
Or you win everything.
Yeah, yeah. You win our winning conversation.
Yeah. You win insight into us and maybe you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when,
why? Who is your fave? These are all open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no wrong answer.
Oh, so who?
Yeah, who's your fave?
Huh, who's my fave? I'm going to have to go with my fave. Is it okay if it's like a new fave?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, do you know the lead singer of A-ha?
We were just listening to Take On Me last night.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I don't really know.
I don't know who the lead singer is. Where are they? German, Dutch?
I think they're from Scandinavia somewhere.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But I watched this thing where he came back. They sang their song again, and I saw him, and I was just all I said was wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Marcus is like, he's okay. My fiance. I'm like, no. Wow. So that is my fave.
That's a good new fave.
Oh, wait, and this is Google new for them singing it new or like an old?
No, they were singing the same Take On Me, but they were singing it like, I think this is like 2014.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Like, so it was recent.
Ooh.
The man aged like fine wine
or
kombucha.
Ooh.
It was really, really Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's got kind of a Patrick Swayze vibe.
That's my other fave. That's my old fave.
So, okay.
I love Patrick Swayze.
See, he's got a bit of the Swayze face.
Oh, whoa. He does have a... He's hot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
No,
wow.
Yeah, that's a
he's
big
wow.
He's
got the wow factor.
Yeah. He's like, wow. Yeah. No, he's... That's a big wow. Look at this. This is a really good one.
Yeah. Like, I mean, who knows how that's old a, that guy is, but it's just
a
hot man.
Were they a one... They're not a one-hit wonder, are they?
Cause I only well, they are because she said they were singing their song.
They are they are but absolutely one, unfortunately.
I bet you, like, overseas, though, I bet you they have, like, a more hits than we know about. Cause, like,
you're probably right.
Because, like, Right Said Fred, like, has, like, 20 albums or something.
Really?
And huh. They're, like, massive overseas. Like, they have other hits and stuff, but, like, they just never came to America.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah. So I could see that being a similar aha thing.
Like Robin is like, huge. Oh,
yeah. Yes.
But, uh-huh. Like, here in the mainstream world is like, yeah, I know that one or two cool songs. I'm like, no, like, Robin is huge.
Yeah, because on our view, she, like, had those songs in whatever, the mid-90s, and then she, like, disappeared and then came back with...
Yeah.
And it's like, no, she's been doing shit the whole time.
She's been Robining.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. I have a new Scandinavian fave, too. I was at Punk Rock Bowling a couple weeks ago performing and got to go to the festival, which was cool. And I never had an opinion about the Hives before, but their guitar player is this, like, real weird bug-eyed freak that is just, like, so fun to watch on stage. And he's... deeply attractive, and he looks like a mad scientist from the 20s. Like,
really?
he's got a real good vibe. He, like, spits guitar picks of people in the front row, and he's got, like, bits he does with his guitar. And he's just, like, he's, like, a very tall, like, built like a Viking, and so his guitar looks, like, very little in his hands. Like, he's just, like, a big Viking man. He's very, very fucking attractive.
The Hives, didn't they, like all wear the same suits or
yeah.
something? Okay.
They were
do they
really
still
funny.
Do that?
Yeah, they still do. And they have, like, kind of an Andy Kaufman vibe to them. Because, like, the lead singer, he's very droll and funny. And, like, at Punk Rock Bowling, he kept being like, oh, yeah, all the punks. We got the punks. We got the crust punks. We got the gutter punks. We got the punks wearing the weird velvet jackets. Oh, that's us. We're wearing suits at Punk Rock Bowling. Make up for the... punks. And he's just like, he was just being such a weirdo. They just, like, they all have, like, fake stage names, and he,
oh,
like,
fun.
He the lead singer, like, unbuttoned his shirt, and he had a heart that just said Las Vegas inside of it, sharpied onto his chest.
Oh, innovative.
I can get behind that.
Yeah,
yeah, like
they're
that.
Just really, and I never had, like, a thought about them before, but, like,
he needs Hannah Steve.
Yeah, he does need a henna, Steve. Really get it going.
Okay. I really like it when they're just, like, bands that are just goofy and they make up all that shit. Because
yeah.
they're just like, why not? We're yeah. just going to have fun with this.
Yeah.
That's him playing guitar. It's just very,
I like it.
That
just
is
surreal.
Cute.
Yeah.
Just a goofy, just like the way he acts is just really goofy.
I like his hair.
Yeah. It's really good.
It looks a little bit like absolutely. Brendan Fraser also.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
we all have a type.
That's what he really looks like.
Well, okay, I get
yeah.
it.
It's like a 1920s.
He looks a lot like Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
well,
he does.
Yeah.
I do have Brendan Fraser on my car. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a big mural of him, like, painted on the side of my car. I didn't pay for it. It was free.
It's the Sistine Chapel of Brendan Fraser's on the sides of cars.
Yeah. He's just a good guy. I believe the Renaissance is coming. I just really believe.
Yeah.
He's next after Keanu,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, that, like, GQ article, if you haven't read it, it's like,
oh yeah, I
it's
read
so
it.
It's good.
Great. Yeah.
He's just like, I love that one part. There's one part in it where he's just like, I'm just going to go shoot some arrows. And he just goes outside and he just shoots a bunch of bullseyes. And then he, like, talks about a traumatic experience in his life. He's just... I love him so much.
I don't know what type of role would be best for him to come back. I'm like, should he be a bad guy? Oh, should it be like an introspective drama?
Yeah.
I think it's like tough. Divorce guy.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe like a sad dad.
I could see him as a sad dad.
Yeah. I could yeah. totally. I mean, like, I could already see the sadness in his eyes being like, I'm trying not to ruin your day, but I'm going through something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's totally his face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Kramer versus Kramer with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. There you go.
Fraser versus Fraser. Yeah. It's Brendan. Brendan Fraser against Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser wins that one hands
yeah,
down.
They're a married couple. They go through custody, the whole deal. Same exact plot.
Oh my God, please. I actually would love that.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Thank you.
When's the last time you guys watched the Kelsey Grammer falling off the stage video? Oh. It's really
never
funny.
No, I'm going to pull it up this. Again now.
Yeah.
It's
fucking crazy.
Really
now I got to look it up.
It's really funny, honestly. It's just him giving a talk somewhere very seriously, and then he just walks to the edge of the stage, and there's just like a cutout, and he just like falls immediately.
Oh my God.
And he just goes, oh no.
Wait, oh, let's see.
Wait, yeah. Watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, it is so funny.
Great podcasting here.
Yes. Yeah. Just
watching anyone fall off stage is
so
funny.
Classic.
I know.
I love.
Wait, listen to his reaction.
Somebody put it's like Sideshow Bob.
It's a super cut of it. Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's like it's really funny because he tries to be so dignified. Like, oh, what happened? Oh my God. There's nothing better than anybody falling down. Like, we try so hard in comedy, yeah. And then yeah. Just you see somebody falling.
It never gets old. I love, I don't know if they're probably staged, but the videos, I love a wedding fail where, like, the bride falls into the water.
Yeah.
It's always really cool.
Yeah. I got to see Katy Perry one from, like, so many years ago where she jumps into a cake and then she falls on the ground. And I think it's, like, MTV Movie Music Awards. And she can't get up because she's covered in cake. And every time she gets up, she's like a little puppy. She just like trips and then falls on all fours. And then eventually a stagehand just grabs her hand and just drags her off stage. She's like holding on. You got to watch it. It's pretty good.
We're going to fund that video. Holy shit. That's awesome.
Well, what was that video of her recently at the Met Gala, like putting on her burger costume in the bathroom?
Oh, that was great. Who was zipping her into it? It was another celebrity. I forget who.
Ah, fuck. And then somebody.
She was drunk in a burger costume.
Somebody
which is great.
That's pretty great.
It wasn't Mariah, but it was some level, Mariah level, like, person came out of the bathroom and just, like, looked at her and kept walking.
That sounds like Mariah Carey.
It does.
For sure.
It really does.
It was an essence of Mariah. I can't remember who the fuck it was.
I don't know if Mariah was at the Met Gala.
I don't think she was.
I don't think she should be every fucking year.
I mean, Billy Porter got carried in, so she knows what that's like.
Exactly. If there's anyone who's made for the Met Gala, it's Mariah goddamn Carey.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see what she would do. It would always be butterflies. No matter what the theme is, she would always come dressed as a butterfly.
Yeah. I could see her just like saying, no thanks, like every once in a while too, though, just to be like, not interested. Like, I'm above the Met Gala. That feels like a real Mariah move.
How do you get invited to this thing? Because it feels like
it's secretive. Anna Wintour has to select you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't you have to like pay a lot of money or not at all?
Yeah, I think it's a charity dinner, so it's table is really expensive or whatever. But yeah, it's very. She never reveals her process.
Yeah.
And she's the only one who has final say.
Oh my God!
Wow.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God. Because we're going to do a comedian one. I mean, I can't make it like, it has to be open to everybody, but that'd be so fucking funny if we were like,
invite only
40 people and hand delivered them like invites.
That'd be really funny.
You guys should be in charge, like when Anna Wintour decides to retire and just randomly select you guys to do it.
Yes.
And you just like, bring the most random people ever.
That's definitely like a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie waiting to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We got Honey Boo Boo. We got
Brendan Fraser.
Of course. The random assortment of people.
The guy from Aha.
Yes.
You got to get him on board.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Either this or Surreal Life. One of these is happening.
Yeah, I think we're actually casting a Surreal Life reboot.
I would watch the fuck out of Honey Boo Boo in a situation like that.
I would watch Honey Boo Boo anywhere.
Yeah.
Is she still on TV?
No,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Her mom had a show for a
moment. Yeah, I think her mom lost a bunch of weight or something.
Yeah, that was in the tabloids, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never watched it.
I'm not exactly sure how things shook down for that family, but let's hope for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the best.
Let's hope they're doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's, fingers crossed.
Next question.
All right.
What's a music history story everybody should hear?
Ooh, a music history story. I've been reading a lot about Iggy Pop lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading his book. And, well, he didn't write it, obviously.
Yeah.
But his story is crazy.
Yeah.
And I think, I guess it's part of music history because it's like a proto-punk, like before, like, you know, afterwards you got all this punk, all these punk bands and everything I grew up with. You end up with Green Day and then, you know, Nirvana. And so to get there was like Iggy Pop just being like, an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my favorite story of his is that he was he went to go perform. There was like a record label there watching, and he didn't know what to do. He was so nervous, so he took a lot of acid.
Oh, jeez.
You know, that calms the nerves.
Yeah.
And I strung hallucinogen.
Can you imagine ever doing that before like a stand-up, say you're nervous? Just never.
Let me just turn into a gargoyle.
And so the funniest thing happened. And this is also, I think this is another show, but we're going to skip it to the other show where He's on there. He's singing. He's doing his dancing. And then comes Elton John, puts on a gorilla suit and gets on stage. And Iggy Pop is like, why is there a gorilla on stage? And he's ready to like grab like a microphone stand and like murder this gorilla. Just like, but then
you think it's real,
and then eventually he puts it down. And he starts dancing with it, yes. And then Elton John takes off the head at the end and says, "Hey, look, it's Elton John." And Iggy Pop's like, "I thought I was dancing with a gorilla." That's that one in the whole Shards of Glass, like. Cutting him up all over and just bleeding on people, and then it just and him making it squirt out with his fingers. Those are, I think that's really like that kind of performance art. I think is something that's happened now that people puke on stage now. It's all because of him.
Oh yeah, no, he brought all.
I wasn't aware that this was happening. Puking on stage.
Oh, it's a thing.
What's going on?
Well, I think it's mostly because of the drugs.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's performance art, or they're just throwing up the drugs that they're taking?
Well, as an audience member, I call it performance art. But they're really strung out and really need help.
I love that. It's like, because that's what you would happen to your brain on acid, is that like a gorilla shows up and then it's actually Elton John, but it was actually happening while he was on acid.
Someone should have told him, listen, when you get on stage,
what was Elton John doing? Being like, I'm just gonna do
pop
this
on. Yeah, I mean, like David Bowie, Elton John, everyone wanted to be around this weird guy because he like gave everyone credit for like just being like so cool and just off base and everything. Yeah. And it just, he was a popular kid.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He really was. And so
you want to party with the guy who does social acid.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yes, you do.
That's great.
Absolutely.
Also, Elton John, there's one of his sparkly Dodger uniform is at the Hard Rock Hotel where we've been going for bachelorette parties a lot. And I'm always stricken by how little he is.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a little guy.
He's a very small outfit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's tiny. Little.
Yeah.
I could see that. I'm excited. Have you seen the movie yet?
No, I
want to see it.
Is it a musical?
It's like kind of like a Yellow Submarine-y type thing where it's like they just break into his songs.
It's a musical.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
Brandy's just trying to justify seeing this.
Well, like, it's like one of those movies.
Well, no.
But they're not, like, acting out his songs.
So it's like Bohemian Rhapsody, where, the songs are actually, like, concerts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but they, like, go off. So it's, like, more like music videos with, like, his story kind of in between.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see it. I love Elton John music.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. And it seems like Elton John was, like, he was really happy with it, too. So that's, like, a pretty great stamp of approval.
Oh, yeah. He went out and did interviews, which he never does.
Yeah.
So that must mean something.
Yeah.
That's big.
I like that guy, Terrence Egerton or whatever his name is.
Is that who's playing him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's the dude from the Kingsman movies.
Yeah.
Those were fun.
He's
very fun.
Yeah. He's pretty great.
Is he British?
No, I don't think so.
No, that's like a very British name.
But I mean, I remember watching him on an interview, and now I can't remember what he sounded like. Mm-hmm. So he very well could have been. Who knows?
Yeah.
Actors these days are just so good, you just never know anymore.
Yeah.
I think Peter Dinklage's British accent blew on Game of Thrones.
It gets much better. It gets way better. And like, There's like a supercut I saw of like everybody in Game of Thrones' real accent, and it like throws you off really bad to be like, what?
Yeah, it is always weird when someone, you're like, wait, what's going on here?
So they all have British accents on the show?
Yeah.
Of course, because anything like, old, they're like
British.
Yeah.
Star Wars, whatever, anything.
Yeah. It does feel kind of, I don't know what, maybe it's from Mythical if it's British.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like a period piece or something.
Yeah, for some reason, yeah.
Well, it's funny because a lot of the actors are British, but then they have like different British accents they do for the show, where it's more like an old style British accent, and then they're like, talk like this in real life. I'm horrible. Sorry for our British listeners.
That's how I know I couldn't be a professional actor, because not only can I not cry on command, I cannot do an accent to save my fucking life.
I'm not good at that either.
Oh my God.
No, no, no.
It comes out randomly, like singing, like, and it sounds great. And then I try to recreate that and it doesn't work. So it's got to be random.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I never actually know what it's going to sound like until it comes out of my mouth.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can't think about it.
And we were all nodding.
Yeah,
we know.
Yeah, totally. So you're like reading about Iggy Pop because you have like a new music podcasting coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a podcast that Marcus has been thinking about for years, and then he and I did like a Patreon thing for my movie Sign with the Mads, where I asked him like to come along and just like, hey, can you just be filler, Marcus? Yeah. And and we had so much fun doing it. He was like, I'm gonna ask. He decided to ask
really
me.
I really like talking to you for some reason.
Yeah, we get along. Yeah. And we make each other laugh. Uh-huh. And so he asked me, he's like, hey, I know you love music and we have like pretty like similar styles and like what we like. Mm-hmm. And so he asked me to come along and do this music podcast with him. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds awesome.
That rules.
So it's going to be kind of like how I do my Hollywood sign, which is where I like pick a topic and I talk about them, like, you know, I do some research, but then it's more like fun. We just talk about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's do that, but with the music. So it'll be different from his last podcast on the left.
Yeah, of course.
You know, podcast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But it will be the history of music. And the first season's going to be punk rock music.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that rules. Hell yeah.
Is that like how you guys first got together? Is like that thing you bonded over is music?
We bonded over 70s horror films. Like our first date was Carrie.
And I think,
you know, speaking of 90s, I think he overheard me talking about how I used to work at Hot Topic when I was in high school.
You did like piercings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just jealous that you got a job at Hot Topic. That was a hot ticket job where I was.
Really?
It was competitive. Hot Topic and Hollywood Video were the two jobs.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right about that.
It was a top tier teen job.
I did it. And then so he overheard, and then we ended up talking about horror movies, and then and then later we found out, oh, we also like kind of like the same music, but it's not like exactly the same, even though everyone does say like we're very similar, like it's like you guys look alike and you guys kind of walk alike and talk alike. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? We spent every moment together for years. What do you think was gonna happen? We found each other. So we love music. We go to concerts all the time, and like it's so weird to say I love music, but it's true. It's true.
No,
and we're gonna do other genres too. Don't want to have to just do like the cool ones. I don't know if we're gonna ever get into like alternative like rock or
they're like polka.
Polka might be a fun one. Could you imagine?
That could be.
Yeah. Like making things like fun. Some awesome polka bands out there that we don't know about.
Yeah. And it's my job to show you guys.
Yes, we need you.
Well, there's that documentary, and then Jack Black, the other Jack, made that movie about the Polka King of Pennsylvania. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, is it a documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary. Then Jack Black made the fictional movie based off the story, but it's about this Polka King of Pennsylvania that like started embezzling money to basically put his wife through beauty contests to become like Miss Pennsylvania.
I remember hearing about
it's a hell of a story.
That's amazing.
That's a good story.
Yeah. It's pretty great. That'd be a hell of a podcast episode.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. You never know. All kinds of crazy shit comes from like musicians and stuff like blues. Imagine doing blues, like all the heroin in the world.
Oh, so much?
In that one little area. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy stories of people just literally dying on stage or being reckless and like crazy.
That'd be a
fun story.
My grandfather was a big band musician, so he was in like the Air Force, you know, band and all that stuff. So I think they have like crazy, we've always seen these crazy pictures of them and like stories about them traveling all over the place and doing that. And it's like, yeah, you're playing for the troops and just kind of like, let's not think about everything else going on, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Intense. I don't know.
Yeah. That's super cool. Oh, that's exciting. I like the idea of doing like seasons as like genres and stuff too. That's cool.
Yeah, we actually, Marcus thought of that when we were thinking of doing everything, because as you know, like doing a weekly podcast sometimes can be so constrictive, especially if there's a lot of research involved.
Yes. For sure. Yeah.
And so just thinking like if you release it in seasons, like that way you can take like a month break.
Yeah.
Read a couple books, go to a couple shows.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have thought of that when I first started podcasting.
Yeah. The key to podcasting is building in downtime.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's really number one.
It really is. Yeah. We always stack them pretty hard sometimes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's very important. It's nice. But
speaking of, that's it's cool. Time for a break.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So ready? BRB. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Carolina Hidalgo.
Hey.
And we're going to answer some advice. You want to solve everyone's problems with us today?
Yes. Let's get that started. All everyone's problems but my own.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's what
the great thing
about
advice is you don't worry about yourself.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. I'm on this.
Yeah. You do this.
Yeah. Weird. We haven't done it in a while because we used to like put our own in here, but now we're just like, no, we'll just...
Yeah. When we were very first starting out, we just frankly didn't have enough listeners to have people be writing in on a regular basis. Yeah. So we would pretend that a listener wrote in, but it was just us.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. For $5 a month on our Patreon, you can get the first 100 episodes. And if you hear a Jessica from New Jersey, you can guess which one of us it was.
Yeah, Jessica from New Jersey was
our
always...
code name. You guys, that's a big revelation we just dropped.
Yeah. But you know what? If you've been here with us for 7 years, you deserve to know the truth about Jessica from New Jersey.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna have to think of another one.
That's true. That's true.
God, we've been doing it for 7 years, and it's like, man, I'd be a little nervous to go back and listen to some of Jessica from New Jersey's
certainly
early 2013 questions.
I feel like now we've embarrassed ourselves so long and in so many ways that I think we would just say it was us.
Yeah,
like I think we're more shameless now.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I don't even mean that I would reveal that it wasn't me. I just mean for myself. Listening.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And being like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was my life.
Right. Yeah. You talked about this. Good for you. Okay.
Yeah. If you have lady problems, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems.
Hey, ladies, I'm recently new to your podcast, but I'm loving it. McDonald's.
So
just kidding. I just said that. You guys are one of the best podcasts out there. Anyway, I have a 6-month-old baby girl and a fiance that I've been with for about 2 years. I think I'm still in love with him, but I can't help thinking we might not be together still if it weren't for my daughter, since we got pregnant about 3 months after being together. I got to thinking about this after I had it out with my fiance's sister. I haven't had a full conversation with her ever. And I don't know her, but she doesn't know me, but suddenly I'm a bad mom and a shitty person. This isn't the first time I've had issues with his family treating me like a piece of shit that gets stuck to the bottom of their shoe. He's the baby, and I know everyone is just trying to protect him, but they are starting to push me away along with other things doing that also. His brother is getting married soon, and I don't know where all this drama started, but I'm pretty sure it's with his brother's future wife. I don't support the marriage, and I'm banking on divorce, but I was a bridesmaid. And after the fight with the sister, I told her I refuse to be in her wedding and I won't let my daughter be in her wedding either.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Am I being too theatrical? Should I let my daughter be a flower girl? How do I go about handling his family? Thank you, ladies. Keep killing it. And wait, there's a few things going on here.
Yeah, I don't know. There's two sisters, right? Did I get that right?
I think there's a sister and a brother and then maybe future sister-in-law.
She doesn't like the... She was a bridesmaid for the brother's wedding. I think
she's about to be a bride.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Yeah, I think she's about to be a bridesmaid in the brother's wedding. Doesn't like the sister-in-law.
But there are two weddings, or one.
She's a fiance. So there's her wedding.
So three weddings.
I don't know about the sister.
I think there's two. Yes. This is like a word problem.
Yeah.
The answer is, I think, two.
Yeah.
Including hers?
I think her wedding and the sister. Okay, let's see this again. Okay, let's see. So they have a baby. I got to thinking about this after I had it out with my fiance's sister. I haven't had a full conversation with her ever. I don't know her and she doesn't know me, but suddenly I'm a bad mom and a shitty person. So we don't know what...
There's some things missing
there. We don't know what's going on there. This isn't the first time I've had issues with his family treating me like I'm a piece of shit. He's the baby and I know everyone's trying to protect him. His brother is getting married soon.
See, three weddings. I was right.
You're right.
Mm. His brother is getting married soon and I don't know where all this drama started with. No, I think there's only two. Where are you getting three from?
Sister.
Sister's not getting married, though.
Oh.
Sister just got in a fight with her.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, this makes more sense. Okay, yeah. We got it now.
Okay, his brother's getting married soon, and I don't know where all this drama started, but I'm pretty sure it's with his brother's future wife. So is he calling his fiancée's sister also? Is that the same person as brother's future wife? I don't support the marriage, and I'm baking on a divorce, but I was a bridesmaid, and after the fight with his sister, I told her I refused to be in her wedding. Okay, so it was... going to be a bridesmaid in the upcoming wedding.
So she was a bridesmaid in the brother's wedding, doesn't like the wife, and is going to be a bridesmaid in the sister's wedding in the future.
The important thing is I think you should let the kid be the flower girl.
I do agree with her on that.
I told her I refuse to be in the wedding.
Yeah.
And I won't let my daughter be in her wedding either. Am I being too theatrical? Should I let my daughter be a flower girl? It's a little hard for us to say because we don't... All you just kind of said that you guys had a fight, but we don't really know the nature of what happened.
You're our listener, so I'm going to say you were right. Yeah. But, you know, without knowing the details, I mean, it's your fiance's kid too, and it's his family too. So I think, like, let her be in her dad's family's wedding. And, like, everyone loves a flower girl, and every little girl wants to be a flower girl. So just let her do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wants to do it. Like, let her go and do it.
It's fun for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, you know, you don't need to be best friends with your fiance's family. That doesn't mean you need to like talk to them all the time and be BFFs, but like you need to find a way to kind of just be civil with them at least, because this is going to be your family, I think.
Yeah.
And like, try to like at least.
Well, is it? Because also we should address the beginning
of the podcast.
I forgot.
Is there going to be a wedding? A third wedding?
She kind of took a turn.
Is this two or three weddings? Yeah. I don't know. She doesn't know either.
because she kind of like, I have a 6-month-old baby girl and fiance I've been with for about 2 years. I think I'm still in love with him. And then and we're like, whoa, wait, let's go back to that.
Yeah, I think that's much more important than whether who's wearing what dresses at this wedding.
Yeah, for sure.
You should marry the person that you're still in love with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's like to have like a newborn baby and what kind of stress that puts on a relationship. So maybe, I don't know.
I've heard that can like the first year can be is like the hardest.
It's brutal.
It's brutal on a family. So it could just be like a really rough.
So the baby is 6 months old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be a flower girl.
Oh, yeah. She's not quite old enough, is she?
No. So it has to be like a stroller?
Yeah, you would stroller down there.
She would have to go.
That's why she doesn't want her to be.
I see.
That would be a tough one. You can't really hire a stand-in.
But I feel like she's going to the wedding, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to be there anyway, just walk the kid down the aisle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a symbolic thing. It's a nice thing to do for her fiance's family. Unless, like, I don't know what they're disagreeing over. I don't know if it's like something insane.
Yeah.
But to me, it seems like, your daughter. She's part of the family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like people are going to be stressed out by stuff. And like, you know, like planning a wedding is really difficult. Like the first year you have a kid is really difficult. Everyone that sounds like is in very high stress situations. So like if you aren't 100%, there's going to be tiny explosions along the way. And I think the important thing is to be like, ooh, I didn't necessarily mean that. Can we just take a beat and kind of try to solve this a little bit if possible?
Like, and get to know them better.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then decide whether you want to stay in this family or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think you do best of both worlds where you agree to be in the wedding, but you just mad dog everybody.
Yes.
Ruin all the pictures. You know what I mean?
It sounds like that might happen.
Yeah.
So nice.
They get you in the wedding and then you get to fuck it up. Like, how you want.
I will say that, like, I don't know what the brother's situation is, but like, he obviously loves the person that he chose to marry. So I think like vocally disapproving of his wife choice and like I don't know if you're just talking to like your fiance about that or not, but like she's married in the family now, like try to find a way to make peace with her, or just like don't say anything about it, because like, you know, that's a lot.
And like I said, it's really hard to say because without like the details.
If these are like wretched individuals that you truly want nothing to fucking do with ever, period, then maybe head for the hills.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really, I need some details.
Yeah, what does the fiancé think about the whole thing?
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering. It sounds like whatever is going on, you guys need some time to, like, reconnect and be together. So maybe I would try to, like, I know it's too hard with an infant probably, but I don't know, some kind of situation where you guys can just be on your own, like, maybe right after this wedding or something like that. Like,
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, give yourself the kids like a with little, the grandparents for like at least a night.
Yeah.
Like, give yourself like a little time to reconnect, because it sounds like you're super stressed out and like you need to, you know, be on one-on-one with him and like be honest with him about what's going on, maybe. Or
I wonder, like, if you're in any like mom groups of any kind that you could talk to people that are like at the same stage of a baby as you are, just to be like, oh, everybody is going through this, and like we're all of our relationships are kind of in a fucked up weird place right now. Like, okay, cool. This isn't like, sometimes it's just good to be like, oh, everyone's world is on fire currently. Great, cool, awesome. It's not just me. So it kind of takes the pressure off of your individual relationship a little bit. Yeah,
that is a great idea, especially since she like wrote to you guys.
Yeah.
Obviously, she wants her story to be heard.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And that's really good therapy, just to tell someone like, you know, am I wrong? Like,
yeah,
a support group would actually really help out with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when people write, like, they, it's just nice to hear people discuss, you know what I mean? Hear it said out loud to you, kind of.
And yeah.
People, I think, know the answer or whatever. They know what they want to do, but they just kind of need to, like, hear it spoken.
Yeah, for sure.
That being said, I have no idea what the fuck you should do. So.
But we hope it works out for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Eat all the free food you can and drink all the free drinks you can at this wedding.
Yeah, right? I mean, weddings are fun. Just go dance. Get a cute dress for your baby.
You have the baby to like just
enjoy the wedding of it all. I mean, I don't know. I don't have tons. I know some people do have tons of weddings in their life, so whatever. But I don't have a ton. Like, I'm out of, you know, like a few good friends get married basically, and they're like a blast, so try to enjoy it.
Weddings are always great. I was like, it's like a highlight of the year whenever I'm like, oh, here's my wedding invitations, I'm going to these four or five places a year, and like, this is gonna be fun.
If somebody doesn't like you, you know, the most fun to do is to be happy and look like you're having a great time, and then you end up having so much fun, and could probably ruin that person's day. That's good. Nice and spiteful.
Absolutely.
Opportunities for wins here.
For sure. For sure. Don't get drunk and make any kind of speech.
Especially if you quit being a bridesmaid, you certainly cannot give a speech.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That should go without saying.
Well, being a bridesmaid, is there a way to like mend that without
I would let that go, probably.
I would let just, it go, just but also that's a pretty big move.
That's pretty big.
If you're gonna stick with that.
Yeah. Because then at that point, like, you, stay away from that. Try. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you kind of need to let your, I think you kind of get your daughter's got to be a bridesmaid or got to be a flower girl if you're like pulling out like that.
Flower baby.
A little flower baby.
Oh.
Yeah. I like that. Is there a dog in your family that can pull a bassinet down the aisle?
Adorable.
I'd love to see that.
Previously mentioned tongue piercing situation.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
What? Who's getting their tongue pierced, do you think?
The bride and the groom.
The baby? Oh, the bride and the
baby. The baby.
Oh, that's the baby.
I think the officiant is holding the rings on his.
Yeah, exactly. Who has the rings? Just pull that out.
All gross. All right, we have another little shorter one.
Okay, cool.
You're giving me so many great wedding ideas. But
good.
Oh my God. When's your wedding?
It's in November.
Nice. So
it's coming up.
Are you doing it here in New York? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. It's got to be in New York.
Hell yeah.
Because we got people coming from everywhere. So we compromised. And it's like, now everyone has to travel.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. That's good.
How's planning going?
It's going all right.
Nice.
Yeah. No real stress or anything. Cool. Everyone's being very nice and offering the help. And I'm like, cool.
Nice.
Please do.
How big are you doing it?
It's like 80 people.
Oh, so that's great.
That's cool. That's
like perfect.
Mostly family and just like, you know, the closest friends you got.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's it. It's like a nice little party.
That's great.
Mariachi band, of course.
Oh. Nice. Yeah. Ooh, I love that. Are they going to like play you down the aisle and stuff, or?
I think they're going to come later.
Oh, the
like
reception.
When it's like party time and everyone's had a couple. And
oh my God, that's going to be so fun.
I love a mariachi band. Honestly, don't tell anybody about the mariachi band. And then just have them just appear at the reception.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless they listen to this. But
That's weird because I'm going to put a link of this podcast on the invitations.
That's what we got. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Here's hotels. Here's a podcast, I guess, standard.
I'm a big fan of like a third act surprise. Mm-hmm. I remember I threw this like holiday party for comedians in LA. And then at like midnight, I had a bunch of friends dressed up as Vikings just show up.
Cool.
And it was, we had a
I think I was there for that.
Yeah, we had a photo booth, and then people were like, why are there Vikings here? And I was like, I don't know, happy Christmas.
Dropped acid, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
One of them was Elton John.
Yeah. He took off a literal skull.
You know what? I guess that's why they call it the blues. I don't know what I'm saying. That doesn't make sense. Okay.
It was almost there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't commit.
I'll read the second one.
Okay.
The question on the April 17th episode reminded me of one of my own questions. Is climate a good enough reason to consider moving? I'm from the Northeast, and in my life have lived near New York City, near Buffalo, New York, and Boston, and these are not warm places. I would be absolutely thrilled to never see snow again. Mental health plays a part in it. Although my depression is unfortunately not just seasonal, on warm and especially sunnier days, my energy and mood improve dramatically and make it much easier for me to get out of the world and not isolate myself. It doesn't even need to be like as warm and sunny as Los Angeles. I have a Facebook friend who lives in Richmond, Virginia, and even that seems great. Also, I'm getting my elementary ed degree right now, and it transfers to many other states. So when I get my teacher certification, I will be relatively mobile when searching for my first full-time teaching job. However, although the weather sucks, almost everyone I know lives in the Northeast. Family, friends, and the connections I've made through school and work. Additionally, I'll probably be moving alone. I'm in my 20s, but I've never really had a girlfriend, partner, whoever, and don't really foresee having one in the near future. Which I don't mean in a weird way. I think I might be asexual, but I don't want to commit to that label. However, I very rarely experience romantic or sexual attraction. I know lots of people move without a partner, but most people I know, at least, have either had a good reason, like you guys moving to pursue a career path, or have had a partner with good reason. I just have neither of those things, but I'm realizing that I don't and probably won't have any of those factors anytime soon. So I guess my question is still moving, if moving primarily for warmer weather is worthwhile, especially if you're doing it alone. I'm just afraid it sounds like a silly or impractical reason to consider. Thanks so much. Sincerely, a girl who hates snow.
Yeah, totally move.
Get out.
Yeah, move right now.
Yeah.
No, absolutely move.
I think it's a great idea to do something like that.
Yeah. Especially like your 20s, you're about to like get out of college and stuff. It's like totally. That's exactly when you go.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I moved to New York without any real reason other than like I want to live somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's all that really happened.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need anything else.
I think you're probably better off moving to a new place without a partner because I think a partner can make it hard to meet new people because you guys can just get in your little like partner hole.
Well, a lot of people, when they move with partners, their relationship's kind of usually over within a year or two. If they're like relatively new or they move for just one person's purposes or something.
Right, yeah.
Because it is like you get one person either has all the connections and the other, like, you know, that gets fucked up a lot.
Yeah, I've seen it happen a million times in LA. People move there, you know, together and then they break up a few years later.
Yeah.
I think you're in the perfect place to do it. And like, I moved to LA. I knew I like wanted to sort of do comedy, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I moved to LA barely knowing anybody, you know, and just threw myself in and like, you seem like the kind of person who's gonna kind of, you know, adapt to wherever. So
yeah,
go for it. And the thing is, your friends are always going to be, you know, if it, for some reason it doesn't go well, they're still going to be there. You're going to have the option.
Get a credit card with airline miles so that you can go back and visit when you feel like it.
Yeah.
Especially if you end up in like Virginia or something that's not very far from the Northeast. You can train it up here.
Yeah. It's like a quick train ride. That's a Chinatown bus. You know, that's like whatever. That's super easy. Yeah. I mean like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean like schools in like I'm from Maryland. Our school system is super good. Virginia, Northern Virginia especially has like a really great school system. Like we were just in Richmond. It's cute as shit town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah, it's fun down there.
And I feel you. I also hate being cold and like it's a huge quality of life issue. Like when I lived in Boston, I mean I loved Boston, but being cold it makes everything shitty.
Yeah,
really,
you don't really
it does.
Feel like doing stuff anymore.
No, it's not like nothing. I'm also like, if you're like an outdoorsy person and you hate being cold, that really does affect your ability to like be happy and cope with things.
Yeah, for sure. It's always funny in LA, we have like so many friends that are comedians from Chicago, and like within the first year of them moving out to LA, just like their skin tone changes and they're just like deeply happy in a way that I I have a couple of friends that I knew them for like 10 years in Chicago before, and then they just like moved out. And I'm like, oh, you're a completely different person than the person I know.
Yeah.
Just because you get like sunshine every day and you don't have 9 months of snow and cold. Great.
And it's really cool to like shake up your routine.
Absolutely.
And then like, you know, when you like buy a new like jacket that you really like.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, you're just like a new person. I mean, that's not going to solve your any kind of depression issues, but man, yeah, it is a good start.
Oh,
totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, a new pair of jeans will make my month sometimes.
Yes.
I'm just like, oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely. Like a watch. I think I bought a watch like not that long ago. And man, I was like, everything was going my way. I was very on time as well.
Yeah. I like being a watch gal. It's cool.
Yeah. I'm saying get a watch right before you move.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could be like the best thing that happens to you.
If nothing else, you'll get a sweet farmer's tan from that new sunshine you're experiencing.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Totally.
Yeah, definitely go for it. You're in the perfect like place to do it. I mean, it's like, again, it's one of those things. She knows what, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wants to do.
So we're telling you, do it.
Yeah, totally do it. Send us a picture of your new apartment.
Yeah, Richmond was super cute. I would definitely consider living there, like, if I was in your situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun town. Like, there's,
and it's like a town where I think friends could come visit you. You know, you're not going to be as isolated as you think.
Honestly, it's really fun being kind of the person that moves away, too, because then you're the destination friend.
Exactly.
So people come see you on vacation. They want to do all the cool shit with you. Like, it's really fun being that person.
Yeah. And you're going to meet new friends at your new teaching job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah.
And it's good. And if you're kind of asexual, I think you said a girlfriend, so I'm not sure your sexuality, but we've heard that the dating scene there sucks, so that's great.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
At least according to the drunk ants, but they had a specific type.
Yeah.
It's some 45-year-old drunk ants at our Richmond live show.
Woo!
Yeah, really?
They were a blast.
They were hilarious.
But on the other side of that, like, walking around Richmond, there's just, like, a lot of, like, really hot, like, non-binary people that just hang out. Richmond's really cool because, like, it's this deep blue bubble in the middle of Virginia, so everybody that like needs it moves there, and it's like a crazy progressive town, and like they're also aware of like their history, so like they work against it pretty hard to be like, fuck the Confederacy, we're super white woke here, this is gonna be fun. So it's really fun.
You got this.
Yes.
I'm so excited now.
Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like I'm moving. Or something.
I know.
I'm starting anew. I mean, how many like TV shows with like female based TV shows are there of the girl goes to a new town.
Yes. And this is your Felicity moment.
Yes.
You're going to have a great season. They're going to pick you up for another one, too. I promise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let us know how season one turns out. Finale.
Don't leave any cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys.
That's our show.
Yes.
Carolina, tell us where everybody can find your shows and everything like that, and your Instagram and Twitter stuff.
Oh, yeah. I got my Instagram, Carolina Danger Hidalgo, pretty easy.
Nice.
And Twitter, Carolina Does Okay, spelled okay. She does okay. And you can go on anywhere you find podcasts, Movie Sign with the Mads, with the mad scientists from Mystery Science Theater 3000. They're really cool guys.
Yeah.
And you could just watch them struggling, trying to learn the genders, the pronouns, like they're doing so respectfully, but they keep messing up. It's really cute.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
That's sweet.
And Professional Friends, a show I do, LGBT show, just dating scene. I'm the producer, and they just go around talking about how crazy life is.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's about it.
Cool.
Fuck yeah.
Awesome.
And for Patreon people, we'll see you on the Top Secret Session. If you want to learn about what that is, go to patreon.com/ladytolady. Check out all of our tiers. We're having a good time over there. So
hell yeah.
We'll see you over there.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.